Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine linen and blue and purple and scarlet and cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. I want to talk about the tabernacle. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle. And we've done dealt with the furniture that was going to be put in the tabernacle. But the first page is the tabernacle. And the tabernacle has so many types of our Lord Jesus Christ in it. And when you read about those curtains, you don't see them unless you go inside the tabernacle and look up. On the outside, it don't look that way at all. The tabernacle is one of the most instructive types in the Bible, and give you three meanings and then try to deal with them. The tabernacle, the first meaning is this, is a type, a visible illustration of that heavenly place where God dwells. You know, when we talk about the tabernacle, Hebrews 9 said this was a pattern. Therefore, it was the things in heaven was made of a pattern. The pattern here was a type of the things that was already in heaven. Whatever happened down here was type of whatever's going to be in heaven. Everything in the tabernacle was sprinkled with blood. The people were sprinkled. The book was. The tabernacle itself was sprinkled with blood. But this thing in heaven, that tabernacle in heaven, that pattern of heavenly things, Christ Himself, not like the high priest Moses and sprinkled the people, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared in heaven itself in the presence of God with His own blood. With His own blood. Not the blood of bulls and goats, with His own blood. And so this pattern, this down here is just a pattern of what was going to happen up there. And that's God's dwelling place. And the second thing about the tabernacle is the type of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He's the meeting place between God and man. He's the meeting place between God and man. And I tell you, that's the place where God met men, is at the tabernacle. At the tabernacle. And the third meaning of the tabernacle is this, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in the church. And the communion that we have with Him because of the tabernacle. And like I said, the first of these meanings is clearly stated. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in heaven. And God told Moses, look at that verse 40 of chapter 25. And look thou that make them after the pattern which was showed thee in the mount. God gave Moses a pattern for every single thing in the tabernacle. And Christ, He entered not into that place, in the holy place, was just a figure, types of the true, but into heaven itself, into the presence of God for us. And the tabernacle was a symbol of God's dwelling, and there's the sanctuary. There was the sanctuary, that's on the outside. And then there was the holy place, and then there's the holiest of holies. Well, in this sanctuary, that's where God met men, and that's where He dwelt. And so God dwelt there, and it was just a type, it's just a pattern. What we see here in type is really just a pattern of the things that's in heaven. Now, this is the place where God met men. This is the place where God dwelt. This is the place where God communed with His people, the Lord Jesus Christ communed with His people. Then you imagine what it's going to be like in glory. You know, everything down here without the shedding of blood, nothing, no remission of sins. Everything sprinkled with blood. Well, Christ appeared not in the holy place, but in the holiest of holies, in the presence of God for us. In the presence of God for us. And so when we get there, there's going to be a tabernacle, and I'll show you who that's going to be in a little while. That's going to be a dwelling place. It is going to be just exactly like God purposed and planned it. And that's after a pattern. Pattern. And secondly, not only was it God's dwelling place, but the tabernacle is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Especially while He is here on the earth during the days of His flesh. As the tabernacle was God's dwelling place, so God was in Christ. God's dwelling place there, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in the Lord Jesus Christ. So God was in Christ while he is on this earth. And I tell you this, the tabernacle was not something which originated in the minds of Israel. They didn't say, well, we need a place to worship God. Let's build us a bunch of boards and let's get us some badger skins. Let's make us some let's make us some boards. Let's make us some tent. Let's figure this thing out how we want to do it. No, 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 no. It didn't start anywhere in man's mind. God got Moses on the mountain, gave him a pattern, said, this is the way I want it done. I want everything to speak about my blessed Son. And so when Christ came down here, God was in the midst of that, and no man ever entered his mind that God would come down in the blessed person of his Son and dwell among us, and that God himself would be in Christ, saving us. Saving us. And I tell you what, in fact, you know, God himself said, as he prepared that ark, that pattern, he said, God, our Lord Jesus Christ says, thou hast prepared him a body. What for? For God to dwell in. For God to save us. For God to meet us. For God to commune with us. And here's the third thing about this tabernacle. There God met his people. There where they met. You know that Ark of the Covenant and that mercy seat that was on it. That's where mercy sat. That was, God said, this is my throne. He dwelt between them cherubims. And he says, there will I commune with thee, there will I meet with you. And the thing about it is, God was holy, and it could only be approached through a sacrifice. And our Lord Jesus Christ was that sacrifice by which he was approached by. And I tell you what, in this tabernacle was the place where God met with men. And there was the God manifested himself to Israel in order to bring them into communion with himself. Let me show you something. Look in Revelation 21 with me. Revelation 21. I'm going to show you. Man's fellowship with God was through sacrifices and offerings and men coming. And all the tabernacle of God was there for men. For men. For God to meet with men. But look here in Revelation 21 and verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And look what else it says about it. It said, you know, this is where we're going to commune with him at. Meet with him at. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he, the tabernacle, our Lord, will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. That's where God go meet us at. That tabernacle. I'll be their God. They're going to be my people. I'm going to dwell with them. They're going to dwell with me. That's what it says about the tabernacle. But the key to the tabernacle is like the key to all the scriptures. The key to all the scriptures is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In the whole volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God. I delight to do thy will. And everything about this tabernacle that we've seen so far talks about the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And proof of this is mentioned in this. And you know, and you don't have to turn to it, but this is what we know. John 1:14 says this, the Word was made flesh, and that Word dwelt among us means tabernacled among us. God himself came down in his blessed Son and tabernacled among us. That's the first. He's talking about the Old Testament tabernacle, that God's tabernacle. God had a place here, for they met in the sacrifice. God came down in his blessed Son. He was manifest in the flesh. And when you read in the margin, it said, dwell with them. He tabernacled among us. He was God's tabernacle. The place where God made men. And I tell you what, and that all look back to this right here. Let me give you several things about this tabernacle and our Lord Jesus Christ. First, the tabernacle was temporary. It was temporary. It was temporary. The tabernacle was just a tent. You look at that thing, it's just a tent. When you talk about that, of course, what we're talking about, we're talking about that tabernacle. That 45 foot long, 15 foot wide. That tabernacle. When you looked at that thing, it was just a tent. It was just a tent. It's badger skin stretched over it. And it was temporary structure. A temporary convenience. Something that could be moved from place to place during the journeys as the children of Israel. That's why they had the staves in them, so they could carry everything. They could take it all apart and move it. They had men that's all they done was carry this stuff and move it from one place to another and set it back up again. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, when He was on this earth, He was here for just a brief time. He wasn't here very long at all. He dwelt in His body just a very short time while He's on this earth. 33 years. And I tell you something about our Lord Jesus Christ. He never stayed in one place. He went from here. He went from Galilee to Nazareth to Capernaum to Judea. He went into every place that there. He went everywhere. Got on the sea. Our Lord Jesus Christ, like this tabernacle. I mean, He didn't stay in one place. He moved where the need was the greatest. You know, He come among sinners. He went where the need was. And I tell you what, and there was times that you know He would get up and they'd be ready to get Him and He'd just go away. And one time when He went into Samaria and He caused those hogs to go into all those hogs to go into that water and drowned them all, they said, "Oh, listen, depart out of our coast. Leave us." He's just barely going through there. He was just, the scripture said He was going through Nain, just passing through Jericho when He met the widow, hey? He was on a journey when He stopped at the water, at the well. Our Lord Jesus Christ moved about. Bless His holy name. And He was always, always active in the ministry. Always active. Here's the second thing about the tabernacle, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. The tabernacle was for use only in the wilderness. Only in the wilderness. When they got in Canaan, they didn't use tabernacle anymore. They say it might have been 40 years. I don't know, 35, 36 years, what it might have been. And I tell you what, it's during the time of their pilgrimage. They were still in the, you know, and they built that tabernacle, a place to meet with God and God to meet with them. And the wilderness was where our blessed Lord Jesus Christ came into. What man of you having 99 sheep, if he loses one, what does he do? He goes into the wilderness to find that one sheep. And I tell you what, you look at the eternal word, when He tabernacled among men, He come into the wilderness of sin and corruption and darkness and death. Come among men. And oh my. And to show you what a wilderness it was, He was born and laid in a manger. What a wilderness. Then raised in Nazareth and raised to be a working man. And one time He said this, birds have holes and birds have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay His head. That's a wilderness for you. Oh my. And when He come time to die, He didn't even have a grave of His own. They had to put Him in another man's grave. That's wilderness. That's wilderness. Oh my. My, my. And the tabernacle was a humble, unattractive, had an outward appearance. Now, we'll get into the inward part of it, but on the outside, you look at that thing, even on the outer court, they put tents over everything. They covered everything up with tents. And they put this tent. We'll get to all this stuff, but they put this beautiful broidered work over it. And then they put badger skin over top, dyed badger skin over top of that. So it's inside where all the beauty was, but on the outside it was just a tent. And when people walked by and looked at it, they said, "Man alive, what in the world? There's no beauty. If that's where God meets men, there's no beauty about that. It's a tent, old badger skin, bunch of boards with things stretched over them. There's no beauty about it, huh?" Oh my, wouldn't that people looked at the tabernacle, there wasn't nothing about the carnal eye that said, "Boy, that's a beautiful place. Bunch of boards put together, staked out, killed a bunch of badgers and dyed them and tanned them, stretched over it." Oh my. And when our Lord Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ was hid beneath the veil of that flesh. He was in the body. He was in flesh. And how many people looked at him and saw no beauty about him, saw no comeliness about him, saw no glory about him, saw no preciousness about him. Oh my. No form. They beheld with the unanointed eye. They saw no beauty that they should desire. But boy, when God gave you a sight of him. Oh, David said, I want to see the King in his beauty. And I'm telling you, beloved, and that's the way it was. When men looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, they said, "Well, he's just a carpenter. He's Mary's son, Joseph's son. There's nothing special about him." But to everyone God gave eyes to see, they said, "Who is he? Who the Son of Man am?" "Well, thou art the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. That's who you are. You don't look like the Son of God. You look like Jesus of Nazareth. But thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." "Well, I understand you was born in Bethlehem. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." Oh my. You look at him outwardly. And that's the way people see him today. There's lots of folks that view Christ and see no beauty about him. All the beauty that they see is in man's power, man's will, man's choice. This is the me generation. Got to have some attention. So the preachers and all the churches, they do everything they can to get men's attention. So they bring Jesus Christ down to their level. If I can't get you to come up front, would you at least raise your hand? If you don't want to raise your hand, will you just bow your head? Just do something. I heard a fellow say one time, "Be a lady and be a gentleman for Jesus and stand up for him." I tell you what, I want to be somebody that bows down before him. Lays on my face before him. He's the one with the power. He's the one with the glory. Let everybody view him the way they want to, but I see him in his glory, see him in his beauty, see him in his power, see him in his majesty, see him on his throne. And one of these days, bless his holy name, we'll see him with these eyes and not another. Huh? And oh my. And fourthly, this tabernacle was God's dwelling place. God's dwelling place. There, right in the midst of Israel's camp there, God took up his dwelling place there. He took up his abode between the cherubim upon the mercy seat. He made his throne. And in the Holy of Holies, he manifested his glorious presence. And for 33 years, that word tabernacled among men. And God dwelt in one place at that time, over in Israel. And I tell you what, the type was fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's dwelling place. This is God's abiding place, is in His blessed Son. And that Shekinah glory, you see that cloud over there? That's the Shekinah glory of God. He come down in a great cloud, and that cloud just glistened. It just shined. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when He went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Scripture said His countenance changed as glistening, as white and bright as the sun. That's God's Shekinah glory. God, and then the Scripture said a cloud came down. A cloud came down. Said, "This is my Son. This is my Son. Hear Him. Hear what He's got to say." And the tabernacle was their place for the place where God met with men. In fact, it was called the Tent of Meeting. If someone desired to draw near to God Almighty, he had to come to the door of the tabernacle. And Moses gave him the instructions about everything in that thing, about all the furniture and the mercy seat and the ark and everything about it. And here's this lovely type, our Lord Jesus Christ. The meeting place between God and man is in one place. Our Lord Jesus said it like this. He made it so plain. No man. Moses ain't going to do it. Paul ain't going to do it. Peter ain't going to do it. Matthew ain't going to do it. John ain't going to do it. James ain't going to do it. Nobody's coming to the Father but by me. Yeah. You won't speak to my Father. You've got to go through me. You want to talk to the Father? You've got to talk through me. And if God talks to you, He's going to talk to you through me. Oh, ain't you grateful that you know that? Amen. I mean, we know the way to go to meet with God. And here's the thing about it. God come down so He could meet with us in the person of His blessed Son. Oh my. God come to meet us. It says, come and speak to me. Come and talk to me. Come and into my presence. I'm going to tell you how to do it. See, my son, you come to me by Him, and I'll accept you. I'll receive you. One mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. He, as God and as man, He could span that great gulf between man and God. He's God, He could reach up and touch God, and God would accept Him. And as man, He could reach down and touch man and do something for him and make him meet in that one blessed place, His blessed Son. Span that great gulf. And let me tell you another thing about the tabernacle. It was the center of Israel's camp. It's right in the center. There's 12 tribes of Israel. And there was 3 tribes on every side of that tabernacle. 3 tribes over here, 3 tribes over here, 3 tribes over there, and 3 tribes up here in the front. North, south, east, and west. 3 tribes. You know what's right in the middle of all of Israel? Tabernacle. And I tell you what, they moved that tabernacle. It's called the Tabernacle of Testimony too. And all of Israel encamped round about the tabernacle. You can read that so many different places. But oh my. And Moses would go out and he'd tell the people the words of the Lord and gather the people together, and they'd all stand around about the tabernacle. And God would speak to them. It was the great gathering center. And you know where our gathering center is now? We've every one of them gathered here tonight. Gathered around one name. Is that not right? We've gathered here about one name. One person. He's the center. Our Lord Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, what did he say? I'll be right in the middle of them. I'll be right in the middle of them. So he's our gathering place. Here's the situation. If we don't have the gospel, and if we don't have Christ, and we don't preach Christ, and we don't know Christ, we absolutely have no reason to meet. But if Christ is why we come, and we all gather around Him, gather around His name, gather around His person, gather around His Word, gather around who He is and what He did and why He did, we gather around Him. And bless His holy name. He's the center. Is He not the center of our thoughts? He's the center of our worship? He's the center of this blessed book? And everybody gathers around Him. And when we get to glory, you know who we're going to sing about and who we're going to gather around? 10,000 times 10,000 thousands will gather around Him. And you know, everybody that goes to glory, they only want to go to glory for one reason. To go be with Him. How many people said, I'm going to go be with the Lord real, real soon. And that's what you talk about. I want to go be with Christ. I'll get to see Christ. That's what Job said. He said, I'll see Him for myself. I'll see Him for myself. And we'll get to see Him. And He's the center. He's the center. Oh my. Our blessed Savior. Oh, what a precious promise. Where two or three are gathered together, I'm right in the middle of them. Here's another thing about the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the place where sacrifices was made, where sacrifice was made. In the outer court, when you first come in, there was a brazen altar made out of brass, and had a grate on the bottom of it and had horns coming out of it. And it was made out of brass, so when they come in there with those sacrifices, that brass wouldn't burn, and it would hold up. It would endure the fire, would endure the flame. And the fire would consume that sacrifice. Oh my. There was the blood shed, there the atonement was made. And so our Lord Jesus Christ, you talking about a type of the brazen altar. Oh my. When our Lord Jesus hung on that cross, the fire of God fell on Him. The fire of His wrath fell on Him. And that fire was in that, they kept a fire continually in that brazen altar. Kept a fire. And that fire would just consume that sacrifice. But our Lord Jesus Christ, He's like that brazen altar. He could endure. He could endure the fire and the wrath and the justice of God. He could bear it. He could bear it. And not only that, but He was the sacrifice. Bound. Bound by love. Bound by obedience. Bound by the Word of God. Bound by His promises. And bound by the covenant of grace. He was bound to that altar. And instead of the fire consuming Him, He consumed the fire. And there's no more wrath, no more justice. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He come out from that crucible where that fire was and that justice was, and He come out of there, got up a third morning, and there He was. Oh my. And that sacrifice, all of those sacrifices never put away sin. His put away sin once and for all. Once and for all. And let me tell you this, the tabernacle was the place of worship. It was the place of worship. That was the place that God set in the middle of them to worship. And to worship. If a person desired to worship God, he stood outside the door. He stood outside that tabernacle. And when God spoke, he'd hear the voice of the Lord. And the priests went in there and they ministered all their services inside there. And beloved, if we're going to worship God, there's only one place we can worship Him at. And the Scriptures tells us that we offer spiritual sacrifices unto God. And in Hebrews, let's look at it together. Let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 13, 15. I could quote this to you and read it to you, but let's look at it. You know, we ain't looked at this in a long time. Hebrews 13, 15. Oh, the worship, the worship, the worship. Look what he said here in verse 15 now. By him. Therefore let us offer. And this is all we can offer. Like he read tonight. Praise ye the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's all we can offer. And I tell you what, and it's through him and by him that we come to a throne of grace. Come to a throne of grace. If a man wanted to worship here from God, we worship in our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the last thing about the tabernacle. About the tabernacle. Tabernacle had just one door. Just one way in. Just one door. Just one door. One way in, one way out. And here's this tabernacle. Here's this outer court. There's only one way in. And there was only one way into that holiest of holies. Only one way into the holy of holies. Only one way into the holy place. You think of a big, large building with but one entrance. Oh my. With all that outer court and all that, there was one gate only. There was only one way to go in there. Into the presence of a holy God. And there's only one way. One way. If we can go into the presence of God. Our Lord, you know what our Lord Jesus Christ said? He said, I'm the door. You know, everything about our Lord is so simple to understand. He spoke in, most of the time, one and two syllable words. You know that? I am, that's easy to understand. A door, that's easy to understand. Shepherd, that's easy to understand. Savior, that's mediator. And a door. And a door's for two reasons. To go in and to come out. But when you go in this door, you don't want back out. Do you? You know, we got doors here, we got doors, we got one, two, three doors, four doors in this place. You can go out any way you want to, come in any way you want to. But when, boy, when we come to God, there ain't but one way, one door. That's so simple, ain't it? Oh, yeah. Well, there's a door. Where does that take us? That takes us into the presence of Christ. And you know who opens the door? I don't. Do you ever open the door when you come to Christ? Did you reach and get a hold of the handle and turn the knob? No. God opened that door. He opened that door. He opened the way into His holy presence. In His holy presence. Oh, our blessed Savior. What a Savior. What a Savior. What a Savior. I hope that was a blessing. We got so much more to say about these things, and I pray the Lord would bless us and enable us to worship Him as we do.